Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Jake, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, and it's hard to believe we're just 2 weeks away from National Signing Day. And I know you've been covering the Dogs for a long time and recruiting. Is this the most that the Bulldog Nation has ever been at a fever pitch for National Signing Day? I guess the Dream Team class was up there with it too, but this one's big also.
Yeah, I would say it's right there. I mean, you know, the year the Dream Team class was in, I think that it was a situation where, you know, the recruits themselves kind of created a lot of hype, you know, in Georgia kind of created a lot of hype with that Dream Team talk and all that stuff. And you know, I want to say, you know, in a lot of ways, I think that may have been a little bit more hype. But this is a better class just overall when you consider just the quality and depth of talent, you know, the lines of scrimmage. I mean, you look at that Green Team class, and, you know, the line of scrimmage was probably a weak point in that class. It was a weak point in that class. So, you know, you look overall, I mean, I don't think there's any question that this is the best class Georgia signed in a really long time, probably going back to maybe, you know, Mark Richt's first couple years in Athens, you know, when they were able to in those first couple classes. I think bring in upwards of 20 to 25, you know, NFL players right there in two classes. So, but overall, I mean, you know, in terms of the hype and everything, I think that this class has probably almost, I don't want to say peaked, but I think that the absolute loudest levels of hype on this class are pretty much over. They've, you know, almost all the hay's in the barn here, and they're ready for, you know, two, three, four more guys to join the class.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. I guess one of your competitors changed Jake Fromm from a four-star to a five-star. Y'all still have him as a four-star, is that right? I guess Rich,
right, and he's going to be on. I will be shocked if he's not right there on that five-star cusp. I mean, it's going to be really close. He's going to be probably one of the first 8 to 10 guys, you know, out of the five-star discussion there. I mean, we you know, 247, we definitely see him as an elite player. We see him as a great, great leader and quarterback. I think they like, you know, Tua, I don't know how to say his last name, the kid that's committed to Alabama. I think they like him a little bit more. But overall, I mean, there's no slide of Fromm at all. He's going to be a top 50 player.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is this setting up to be a very interesting spring where Fromm's not just coming in to back up Eason, but is there going to be a situation where they push each other?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said it all along, and I may have told you guys this. I mean, last year, you know, when it came down to the competition, I think Eason was probably pushed all offseason. He was probably pushed, you know, through the fall camp period and all that stuff. But once he won the job, I mean, Grayson Lambert, while still competing, was also helping the kid out. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, it was his job. He knew it. You know, Jake Fromm's not going to be helping him out. And it's not because Jake Fromm doesn't want to. He's not going to be in a position to. His head's going to be swimming. He's going to be learning. And not only that, he's going to be digging for playing time. I mean, that's just all there is to it. He's a competitor. He's a kid that is a natural-born leader. You know, one of the things that came out of that whole Army All-American week was just how, you know, encouraging and uplifting and things like that he is within the huddle. You know, he has a lot to say. He's a very vocal leader. He doesn't mind, you know, getting on a guy and you know, correcting mistakes and things like that. And that's the kind of player you really want at that quarterback position, and he's the kind of guy that can come in and really show his skills off as a leader right away.
Now, Jake, looking at Georgia going into next season, they seem to be pretty solid at a bunch of different spots, and I think the biggest question mark is going to be what you get out of Eason and, you know, what kind of development he can make going into next season. So where do you see his development right now, and what does he really need to work on to have Georgia where they need to be next year?
Well, I think it all starts with your feet when you play the quarterback position. And I'm no George Whitfield. I'm the first person to tell you that. I'm not Coach Donnan. I'm not all these guys that have coached quarterbacks for years. But it's going to start with Jacob Eason's footwork, and then it's going to move up from there. He's got to do a better job of when he's taking a five-step drop, take five steps, not eight steps. Because all of a sudden, when you end up, you know, 9 yards deep in the backfield to throw the football instead of 6.5, you know, that pass rush has a little bit better chance to get to you because they don't have to bend the edge so much. So that's one thing he's going to be able to help himself with there is, you know, when you can repeat the same, you know, steps, when you can repeat the same footwork, you've got a better chance of repeating that same delivery. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things he's going to have to work on. Not only that, but agility in general. He's a little slow on his drops. A lot of that's, you know, him being such a big guy and putting on so much weight. I think that in and of itself is going to help him more than anything is a full off season to operate in a 235 to 240 pound body. And he showed up in Athens at around 205, 210 pounds, puts on 30 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of adjustment for a guy. But I think that, you know, mechanics are a big thing for him. Fundamentals are going to be a big thing. And as he gets all of that dialed in, there's a chance he can increase his accuracy. But that's something I'm concerned about long term. He is not a very accurate guy. I mean, not one of these guys that you look at some of the balls he throws, and some of that can be developed, but at the same time, you kind of wonder if he's going to get that deep ball dialed in because he never did, you know, throughout the season. Even missed Terry Godwin on a couple of shots there in the bowl game. So he's got to do a better job of fighting off those chunk plays whenever he gets the opportunity.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247247sports.com. What do you think is going to happen here with Jamias Williams?
That tells me he's probably going to end up going back to South Carolina. And the reason I say that is that, you know, when you've got a long-standing relationship, we saw this with Terry Godwin whenever he was being recruited. You got a long-standing relationship with coaches like that, you tend to keep the phone lines open. You tend to keep lines of communications open. You tend not to cancel visits. And right now he's going to visit Georgia this weekend, South Carolina next. And if South Carolina gets him on campus second, I have a hard time thinking Georgia's going to have a chance to flip him. But I say that with full knowledge that this is, you know, kind of Georgia has a little momentum here, and there's a very good chance they're going to be able to get him. My issue with Jamias is this. I think he's a tremendous football player, and I would love to have a handful of him on every football team I've ever coached. But he's 5'7", and that's the truth. I mean, that's not, you know, I don't think he's 5'8", I don't think he's 5'6", he's 5'7". And you know, when you're out there trying to play cornerback at 5'7", you're going to struggle. There are some things that physics just is good. The laws of physics are just going to beat you at times. And so I really worry about him there. I don't think he's got the size to play nickel. You know, you look at the college game and the pro game. You look at the college game, teams are looking for that 6 foot, 6'2", you know, 200-pound guy to play in the nickel because he's got to hold up against the run. He's got to, you know, he's got to be that extra box defender. Well, Jamias isn't that type of guy. You know, if you look at the pro game, the smaller, quicker guys cover in the nickel because it's the more pass-heavy game. So I don't know where exactly he fits for Georgia on defense. I think if you're looking at him as a quarterback, you've got to have some guys higher on your board, guys like Amir Speed and Elijah Blade. But Latavius Branny, a guy that was once committed to Georgia, the Bulldogs are still on heavily. Kirby was in there earlier this week. But if you're looking at him as an Isaiah McKenzie type, a return guy, an offensive guy, I really think he's special and he could make a difference for you.
Jake, I wanted to ask your opinion on this as a guy who used to coach football. With Willie Taggart and what happened at Oregon with their strength and conditioning program where you had some players go to the hospital, it seems like they just really kind of, you know, I used the analogy earlier, you know, forget frying pan into the fire. They threw guys from the freezer into the fire. We haven't really seen anything like that happen at Georgia, thank goodness. But what's your kind of take on how a new coach comes in and kind of tries to implement his own style like that and causes something like that to happen?
You know, I just think that you got to use a little common sense. You know, I mean, I think that just about every strength and conditioning coordinator, if you ask them, they've been in a situation where they've probably overdone it with a kid. I mean, listen, you know, and I'm not trying to blame this on them, but Scott Sinclair and Ed Ellis, the guys at Georgia, I mean, they, for lack of a better way to say it, they had a kid pass away under their watch down at Central Florida. I mean, he, you know, it was a George O'Leary run drill, and the kid had the sickle cell trait, and a lot of things went wrong. But everybody has overdone it at some point. You've just got to be, you know, you just got to do a better job as a strength and conditioning coordinator of knowing your players' limitations, of maybe working them into it. I mean, if you're starting out, you know, in such a way that you're putting kids in hospitals, I mean, in the hospital, maybe you need to, you know, kind of reevaluate where you start from and your starting point, your launching point there in terms of your strength and conditioning program. But, you know, I think more than anything, you know, the safety of these guys is very, very important. And, you know, yeah, there are some guys sitting behind their computer drinking craft beer and pounding Pringles who want to call these kids soft that went to the hospital. But guess what? They went to the hospital, man. And I don't care what anybody says. When your body says no, it's no, and it gives up. So, you know, at the end of the day, these kids go through extremely grueling workouts, even at some of the lighter, you know, probably, you know, softer strength and conditioning, you know, programs in the country. This isn't P90X. This isn't, you know, a session of CrossFit. I mean, this is a lot more strenuous than that, and I think folks need to understand that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is stuff that these guys take very, very seriously. And you're talking about Georgia and all these. I mean, these are tough workouts. This is when they really. This is where, you know, we don't see it and we don't talk about it as much. But these guys are busting it every day, getting ready for the for spring football practice.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, when you look at some of the, when I was coaching, I went to a coaching clinic one time and they showed me a running program that they did. You know, their sprinting program. And man, I'm telling you, Dave, it was one of the – I got nauseous and out of breath just, like, reading what they had to do. I mean, it was something like 15 100-yard sprints. Then they had them doing 10 60-yard sprints, 8 40-yard sprints, and then, working on explosion. I think they had – you know, something like a dozen 20-yard sprints. And that was all in one running period, man. I mean, when you want to talk about burning off calories and losing, you know, losing water weight and sweating all that out, I mean, that's something serious. That's a week's worth of workouts for most of us. So, yeah, these guys go above and beyond. There's a reason that when you flip on that, you know, screen on – when you flip on that TV on Saturday and you know, you look at these guys, there's a reason they look – smaller than we do, you know, some of us more doughy guys out there, that there's a reason they look smaller than us, but they're just as heavy, and it's because they work their tails off, and what weight they do have is muscle, and they have very little body fat. It's because of how hard they work, you have to kind of toe the line. You have to kind of pull up just short of too far and get into that gray area a little bit, I think that a lot of college strength and conditioning coordinators, knowing this is not my area of expertise, you kind of got to work your way into it. There's nothing wrong with, you know, establishing your culture, without, you know, putting kids in the hospital.
Hey, last year, you know, we even kind of had a little fun with it because it went on so long with Demetrius Robertson. But what's going to happen here with Aubrey Solomon?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. Michigan's got a lot of confidence. Alabama's got a lot of confidence. I think if you're the one school that shouldn't right now is Georgia. You know, and I said that last year about Demetrius Roberts too. You know, that one kind of ended up Georgia having a little bit better of a chance than even I thought there. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have told you Georgia was in much better shape with Aubrey Solomon, just because a lot of times whenever the information's all over the place, the home state school is kind of tough to beat there. But at the end of the day, I think Michigan's probably in the best shape with Alabama next, and then Georgia kind of rounding it out. But the fact that he doesn't plan on visiting Georgia before National Signing Day or anything like that, I think right now that is what kind of keeps him out of the picture. If he does end up making a visit, I think Georgia's right back in it. But I would probably pick Michigan right now.
Jake Rowe, Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
Jake, were you over at basketball last night?
Yes, I was.
What did you think of the crowd? It was interesting. You know, they gave away the Dominique Wilkins jersey, so the student section was jam-packed, but it definitely probably made for a weird look on TV.
I thought it was actually kind of cool right there in person, just the way, you know, you saw kind of the you know, you had behind the one baseline on the one end where the student section is, and kind of all the way around a quarter of the next section, you know, going down the long side of the court there. I thought that that was actually a pretty cool look, and I thought the crowd themselves were in it pretty good. I do know that a lot of folks left at halftime. I mean, that late tip, man. You know, I'll be honest with you, getting home around midnight last night, it wasn't easy.
Those 9 o'clock tip-offs are brutal, and on TV, the crowd probably it looked a lot worse than maybe it was, just because it just the part of the stands you could see just looked very spotty and empty. But it was still, you know, like I said, Sam said the student section was fantastic, and I like the fact that they still love Dominique Wilkins. That gets me going right there.
And I thought those jerseys were pretty slick, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Next time, you know, every now and then, you know, in this business, you run into guys like, you know, Neek and stuff like that out and about. And when you're doing something, and I'd love to have one of those, man. I would take it anywhere I knew Dominique was going to show up, if I could get him to sign that thing. I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, get a little signature from the human highlight reel, man. He was awesome.
Exactly. Well, good stuff as always, Jake. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week. It's hard to believe 2 weeks from National Signing Day, but certainly looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
Anytime, fellas. Take it easy.
All right, Jake Rowe, Dogs 247 and 247sports.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.